Voting privileges. When every vote counts, ballots are priceless. And that's why election officials are ensuring ballots are going to eligible voters. We're questioning Iowa's top election administrator, Secretary of State Matt Schultz, and Attorney General Tom Miller on this edition of Iowa Press.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
Iowa banks know you want honest advice about how to best reach your financial goals. Whether it's financing and education, buying a new home, growing a business, or funding retirement, Iowa banks, Iowa values. MyIowaBank.com.
For decades, Iowa Press has brought you politicians and newsmakers from across Iowa and beyond, celebrating 42 years of broadcast excellence on statewide Iowa Public Television. This is the Friday, December 7 edition of Iowa Press. Here is Dean Borg.
There's no arguing about the need for election integrity. It's the cornerstone of democracy. But ensuring election integrity without intimidating legitimate voters is also important. Iowa's Secretary of State, Republican Matt Schultz, is currently pursuing several initiatives to make sure Iowa's elections are squeaky clean. And Iowa's Attorney General, Democrat Tom Miller, is making sure Iowa's election laws are protecting elections and those who want to vote. We've invited both of them to the Iowa Press table today for a conversation on the subject and others. Gentlemen, if you've both been here before, welcome back to Iowa Press.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Dean.
And across the Iowa Press table, Des Moines Register political writer Jennifer Jacobs and Radio Iowa News Director Kay Henderson.
Mr. Schultz, let's talk about the voter fraud investigation that you launched several months ago. How much money have you spent in pursuing voter fraud, and how many crooks have you caught?
Good question. Well, we haven't received a bill yet, as far as I know. That is an agreement we have with the Department of Criminal Investigation, similar to the agreements they have with the lottery and as well the casinos. But we will be getting a bill at some point. Right now, we know of the three cases in Council Bluffs. There's been at least one in Dallas County, a couple in Page as well. Most of those have been surrounded by felons who voted who hadn't had their voting rights restored and non-citizens who had voted. So those investigations will continue to go on. The Des Moines Register also had talked about some absentee ballot issues in Floyd County and Muscatine County where there are investigations as well. So we're going to continue to uphold the law because that's our job.
Mr. Miller, there have been some lawsuits filed to prevent Mr. Schultz from doing part of this voter fraud investigation. Why did you choose to defend the Secretary of State?
Well, for a number of reasons. First of all, it's my job to defend state officials when they're sued. Secondly, Secretary Schultz came to me and very early on and said, I want you to represent me. I want to do this right. I don't have the situation like they have in Florida and Colorado, where there was really premature activities that would suppress voting. He did not want to suppress votes. He didn't want any voter fraud. He wanted to reach across party lines to do the right thing. And whenever anybody comes to me and says, I want to do the right thing, I want you to defend me, I'm going to do just that.
I want to go back to what you said, Mr. Schultz, about uncovering some possible voter fraud. How are those cases progressing now? Will they go to a grand jury, or how are charges pressed in something like that? And who presses them, on the state level or local level?
Well, there's a couple options. It's mostly on the local level. DCI, we just turn information over to DCI. They run the investigations. We don't coordinate or tell them what to do. We just give them the information. Then they contact local officials, do the investigations they need to do. In terms of the criminal cases that have been filed currently, those have been done through county attorneys. Obviously, they could go, in some cases, with the federal government and go to the U.S. Attorney's Office as well. But those are decisions made by the county attorneys and DCI working together.
Mr. Schultz, we may be talking about a list. Let's tell viewers who aren't up to speed where the list came from, how you came up with this list.
That's a great point. What we did is we went to the DOT and we asked Paul Trambino, do you guys get driver's licenses for non-citizens? And he told us that they do. But these are non-citizens who are here legally, who are maybe here on a student visa or are here on a green card. And so they have the opportunity to get a driver's license. We took that list of information and we matched it against our voter registration records. When we did that, we had 3,582 hits of individuals who could be registered to vote. My concern was that they may have gotten a driver's license and become citizens after the fact. And so we wanted to make sure that we weren't just accusing people and taking their names off the records like they did in Florida. And that's why we went about the way we did.
What are you shaking your head about, Mr. Miller?
Well, I was shaking my head in agreement that Secretary Shultz made a crucial decision when he had that list of 3,500. Does he act on that? Does he make accusations? Does he get a lot of publicity? Does he intimidate voters like they did in Florida and Colorado? Or does he go to the federal government and say, give me the list of people who are now citizens so we could see who became a citizen after the driver's license registration? That was the right thing to do, and that's what he did. And that's where you eliminate voter intimidation. His goal, my goal, is zero voter fraud, zero voter intimidation.
Secretary Shultz, there have been some complaints about your use of the Help America Vote Act money as far as, you know, using it to remove people from voter rolls instead of using it to encourage voting, which is what money is intended for. Do you think that's an appropriate use of that federal money?
Absolutely. You know, the attorneys in my office have looked at it. It's one of these cases where that money is there to make sure that we have the administration of elections. We believe that it's an appropriate way to use the money. And, you know, you make a good point, though. We also are going and trying to make sure that we do things to encourage voting. That's why we partnered up with Rock the Vote to create a program called Rock Iowa. We also created a program called Honor a Veteran with Your Vote. So we're doing other things as well to encourage voting. And I'm proud that Iowa is the only state that actually increased voter turnout in this election.
Good point. And Mr. Miller, Matt Shultz is very, very passionate about wanting to require Iowans to show an ID in order to vote. Has he rubbed off on you at all?
Not at all on that one. We've worked together on the litigation and a lot of the questions, and particularly on zero voter fraud, zero voter intimidation. But we part company on voter ID. I'm opposed to it because I think that no one has demonstrated the amount of fraud, any significant amount of fraud that would relate to the ID to call for this kind of legislation. And on the other side, the result is that people won't be able to vote. Elderly people, minorities, and others, for a variety of reasons, they won't have the card on election day. So I disagree with him on this issue.
I wonder if that might be partisan, because Mr. Shultz, last week on this program, Kay Henderson asked the leader of the Iowa Senate's Democratic majority, Mike Gronsdahl, about your proposal for verifying voter signatures.
Mr. Gronsdahl, is that something that you think should be done?
I'm well confident that my ballot would have been thrown out. That's the challenge with that legislation. Anybody whose signature changes over time, I wish the Secretary of State was working on things that would help more Iowans vote rather than discourage more Iowans from voting. In particular, that proposal would make it exceedingly difficult for senior citizens.
Speaker. Mr. Shultz, Senator Gronsdahl is saying signatures and handwriting changes over time. His wouldn't be the same as what's on record. Legitimate concern?
No. I mean, at the end of the day, look at what Oregon and Washington are doing. They're an all-male state. They require signature verification. There are other states like Colorado and Kansas that do it as well. I think it's about how you craft the legislation, and there are ways to make sure that it works. It's working in these other states. What I'm doing is I haven't proposed anything yet. All I've said is when you have almost half of the people in Iowa voting by absentee or by mail, that's something we should be looking at. And I'm going to put this in front of my election advisory board, which is made up of 5 Democrat and 5 Republican county auditors, and say, okay, we have half of our voters voting by mail. Is this something we should be looking at? And how do we make it so that we're not doing what Senator Gronsdahl is saying and preventing people from voting? I recognize that people's signatures changes or can change, and there are ways to provide for that.
Do you see some partisan oppositional Democrat Attorney General Tom Miller, Democrat Mike Gronsdahl opposing this?
Well, look, What Tom's talking about, voter ID is a little different than signature verification. You see Joel Miller, who's a Democrat county auditor in Linn County, immediately when I said that I think we should have signature verification, came out and said, yes, we should. It's about how you do the process. And I think it's important to put this in front of the county auditors who have their boots on the ground, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And my election advisory board is bipartisan, and we work together to try and put together legislation that works for everybody.
General Miller?
Yeah, and keep in mind there are two separate issues, the voter ID that I think Jennifer asked me about and the signature verification. As Secretary Schultz said, they use signature verification in Washington and Oregon, and it seems to work. But I think if we start down that road, we should look at the total package in Washington and Oregon and really consider voting by mail. Not in the polling place, that 100% of the vote would be by mail as they do in Oregon and in Washington. So I'd be willing to consider that overall package.
Mr. Schultz, are you in favor of completely voting by mail?
Not at this time. I mean, I like going to the polls, and I know a lot of people who like to go to the polls. So, but you know, I want to work with the legislature. I want to try and make sure we have a good election system, but it's not perfect. And we just want to make sure that people aren't cheating. And so my goal is to do those kinds of things to make sure that we have honest integrity, but also protect voters' rights.
Mr. Miller, do you think there's enough watchdogging of the Secretary of State's office to make sure that that office isn't wrongly removing Iowa citizens from the voter rolls?
I think that the Secretary has an enormous commitment to do this right. He and I have talked about that, that we don't want voter fraud, but we don't want to stop, intimidate, or remove from the voting rolls any single individual. That's very important to me, and I think it is for him. And people are watching. I mean, Matt, you do have people watching you, including the media.
Is that right?
Which is a healthy thing.
Is there public oversight? Can Iowans look over your shoulder to see who you've removed and why?
Well, we haven't removed anybody. Mm-hmm. And actually, that removal, that's this beautiful part about this. The removal process is done by the county auditors, and the only way a non-citizen under our rule can be removed is by having multiple levels of due process where we send them a notice. And then somebody has to actually challenge them at the county level, where a county auditor basically sits as judge, looks at the evidence and says, yes, this person is a citizen, or no, they're not, or yes, they're eligible, or no, they're not. And then they can appeal to district court. So, I mean, essentially what we've done is to provide more protection for voters rather than just remove people off the rolls like they did in other
General
states.
General Miller, what's changed in elections? You've been through several elections personally.
Now, you and I have been around
for a while. I was going to say that. Thank you for adding that. But what has changed in elections that suddenly we're worried about election integrity?
Well, I guess two things have changed. One is that we do a lot more early voting. I mean, we've reached the point where we're 43% vote early in one phase or another. That's been a big change, and people have been concerned about it. And the other, probably more important factor is that all of America has gotten a lot more partisan, a lot more politicized. And I think that for, you know, some people on the right, like the Secretary of State in Florida and Colorado, they've become very partisan on these issues and have used voter fraud as a rationale to do things that they shouldn't do.
Speaking of the integrity of the results, people on election night weren't able to know the results in Iowa because of a computer meltdown. Let's just call it a meltdown. Aside from all the software issues, what's your answer to Iowans who see a conspiracy here, who worry about the integrity of the process when they can't go online and see what the results are?
Well, you know, what happened was, you know, obviously there was a lot of interest, and Iowa was a pivotal state. What we believe has happened so far, and we are doing an audit on our software and the system, the way it was set up. But we had a huge load right there at the very beginning. With a lot of people who were looking at the website. We tried to plan for this load and put it on the cloud. That was the idea. By putting it on the cloud, we could handle more users.
You mean
something
happened. An outside provider?
Yeah, when I say the cloud, you know, it's absolutely. It's a third party that kind of maintains and is supposed to be able to handle more traffic. We tried to plan for that contingency. It didn't connect until about an hour and a half afterwards because there were so many people. So in the future, we're going to make sure that we have other avenues that we can redirect people. I mean, it was a difficult situation to be in, but I immediately acted with my staff and said, because we were seeing all the results, let's take PDF shots and get those up so at least people could see it. So we started doing that as soon as we could within the first half hour. So people could still get the results, but it wasn't as fancy and as nice as we had it set up. So, you know, our goal is to not have to put PDF images up in the future.
Mr. Miller, is this a fireable offense? I mean, theoretically, Secretary of State Shultz will run for re-election in 2014. Is this something that should concern voters?
Well, I mean, all of these things are up to the voters. I mean, the voters consider everything we do for the 4 years, or in my case, maybe probably more than four years. So that's something that was unfortunate and frustrating for people. That's fair game for people to consider along with everything else during the 4 year period.
So let's be direct on that. Do each of you intend to run for your current office in 2014?
We'll be making that decision. Yeah. You know, my wife and I—we have four kids and another on the way. We found out we're having a baby boy yesterday. So, you know, those are decisions I'm going to make with my wife as it gets closer.
Yeah, and you know, we just finished this last election where we all were pretty intense, and it's hard to focus on the next one yet. But I'll talk to my wife and about it as well. And but you know, I do love this job.
Secretary Shultz, has the thought crossed your mind of challenging Senator Harkin for U.S. Senate?
I'm not running against Tom Harkin. That is not. Look, I'm the Secretary of State, and I'm very passionate about these issues. I love elections, and I love business. You know, people forget we're also in charge of all the corporate filings in the state of Iowa. We're doing great things there. We're working to create a business startup month, and hopefully we can get it through the legislature.
Yeah, but the question was whether or not you're going to run it.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. I mean, I love these issues. I love business, and I love elections. And so that's where my passion is right now, and that's where I'm going to be.
And so you're saying, no, never.
Well, I'm not running against Tom Harkin in 2 years, if that's what you're asking. Yeah.
And Mr. Miller, have you heard about any Iowans being offered jobs in the Obama administration yet?
I think there's a little bit of talk, but it's fairly early. Again, the election's just over, you know, and they haven't really set up even the inaugural committee yet. And there's this fiscal cliff that they're dealing with. So I think it's a little early to tell who may be moving to Washington. And I think some people will. Obviously, the president has great affection for the state and for many of the people that worked for him. So last time we sent Governor Vilsack to be Secretary of Agriculture, for instance.
Would you move to D.C.?
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's shift to discussion in your respective parties about leadership. Sue Dvorsky this past week announced she's leaving the Democratic Party. On the Republican Party, there's sort of a lot of discussion about the current chair. Do you support the current chairman of the Republican Party, A.J. Spiker? Mr. Shultz, would you like to see a different leader?
I'll support whoever the Central Committee picks to be the leader of our party. And that's a decision that's up to them, not me. I'm focused on what I'm trying to do, but obviously I'm a Republican, and I'll support those individuals they choose to lead us.
Mr. Miller, do you have any thoughts on who might be the next party chairman or chairwoman for Democrats in Iowa?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on the past chair. Sue Dvorsky did such a great job. She jumped in, and you know, 2 years ago in the summer and took over and guided us through a difficult 2010, brought us to great victories in 2012, had so much energy and people feel for people and commitment to our ideals. She did just a great job.
I didn't hear you praising A.J. Spiker like he did Sue Dvorsky.
Well, I like A.J. He's a nice guy. But you know, we had a tough election all around, and you know, we're looking at the future now. And if the Central Committee elects AJ, I'll be there to support him, just like whoever else may be the chair of the Republican Party.
Tyler Olson has been mentioned as a possible chair. I'm a big Tyler Olson fan.
He's a lawyer from Cedar Rapids who's also a
state representative. Has tremendous potential in our party and for our state in one way or another.
Secretary Shultz, on the straw poll, the Iowa straw poll in Ames, You oversaw the voting in the 2011 straw poll. What about the future? Do you think the straw poll should be scrapped or continued?
I like politics. I like the straw poll. It's kind of like the state fair for politics. You know, whether it needs to be tweaked or what needs to happen, I personally like the straw poll. So But that's from a personal standpoint. In terms of the effects of it, I'll let those who are in charge of it make those decisions.
I think it's a terrible mistake for the Republican Party. You know, we did it for a while and have long since abandoned it.
You mean Democrats did it for a while?
We did it for a while, yep. and abandoned it. It's an exploitation of the candidates at a time when they're just really starting to put together their organizations. In terms of the $25 for a ticket, buying space, we in Iowa have just such enormous benefits from being first in the nation in our caucuses. Instead of having a straw vote that raises money for the party in August, we have the JJ dinner in October or November, which is just a huge event. It's an organizing event. It's a great fundraiser, but we don't have the straw vote there. Don't need to. The Republicans don't need to. They should get rid of that.
On the caucuses, do you think that county election officials should be involved in verifying the accuracy of the results?
The caucuses are a party-driven event. If you get county auditors involved, you get the Secretary of State's office, then it really is a primary. And that's not what it's supposed to be. The reason I think the caucuses are so great, because you get to go, and you get to try and convince your neighbors to vote for the person you want to see elected. And you don't get that when you have an election like you do on a primary. So I would be against creating an Iowa primary. I think the caucus is unique and it's special, and I think that's why people come to Iowa.
There's a divergence between what Republicans do on caucus night and what Democrats do on caucus night. Democrats do something different, this delegate strength thing that you do that involves math. If Republicans, though, were to change and have county auditors involved in compiling vote totals, would you think that Democrats would feel compelled to make a change in the way they conduct the caucuses?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, what we have is a little, you know, pure form, if you will, of a caucus as opposed to a primary. And, you know, we're comfortable with that. That has some merits in terms of distributing power and vote around the state and effect, particularly to some of the rural areas. It's consistent with the idea of a caucus and a convention. And it makes us more different from New Hampshire. I mean, you know, New Hampshire's great pride is the first in the nation primary. If we get closer to a primary, then they get sort of nervous, and we always want to be in league with them to have first caucus, first primary. So I
want to go back to what Mr. Schultz said just a second, Kate, on not getting a county auditors involved. He says too much like a primary. Isn't it, however, some are saying that it's going to be necessary to ensure the integrity, I used that word in introing the program, the integrity of the caucus results? Mr. Miller.
Well, I think both parties are capable of ensuring the integrity of the caucus results. I remember back in 1979 when I was supporting Senator Kennedy, was one of the leaders of his campaign, and my friend Ed Campbell was one of the leaders of the supporting President Carter. Ned Campbell was also the state Democratic chair. And the Kennedy people came to me and said, well, how can we get an honest count? I said, because it's Iowa. We'll make sure it's an honest count. So I think both parties can do that. I think we should be careful to overreact too much from the results of the Republican caucuses the last time. The odds of getting down to a few votes of this repeating are so small. It was so unusual to have that kind of situation, and I believe it's corrected by, if it gets close, don't call a winner, wait a day or two to do that.
So you're saying leave it as it is?
Yes.
Mr. Miller, in 2007, February, when Barack Obama made his first trip to Iowa, you publicly endorsed him. In 2016, maybe 2015, are you going to endorse Hillary Clinton? Would you like to do it now, just a little bit earlier than that?
Well, this is fairly early. It's a month since the last election. You know, I think it's too early for to make decisions, and certainly for me. But I do have enormous regard for Hillary Clinton. I'm a great fan of Hillary Clinton's. I have a great respect for her as well as her husband, of course.
Do you think the nomination is hers until she says she doesn't want it?
Well, I think it's just too early to tell. I think we haven't even had the inaugural yet. Although I will note that I'm a fan of Chuck Todd's on NBC, and a couple days after the election, he was saying that approximately 1,150 days from now is the Iowa caucus. So he had started the countdown, but not for me. I'm not counting down.
Secretary Schultz, you endorsed Mitt Romney in 2007, and then this cycle you endorsed Rick Santorum. Was that because you saw the train wreck coming?
No. I Mitt Romney's a good man. I think he showed to be a good man during the campaign. I supported Rick Santorum because, you know, I was looking at the candidates. Rick Santorum didn't run in 2007, ran this time. He and I seem to be more alike in our views. And, but I supported Mitt Romney the second he won the nomination. And, unfortunately, he was not elected. But, we'll all move on and hopefully work together to keep things going.
As your party tries to move on, there's this debate among Republicans about how do we reach out to Hispanic Latino voters. As someone who speaks Spanish, what's your advice to your own party?
Well, I think we need to obviously listen and take what we believe and make sure that they know what we believe. And make sure everyone knows what we believe. I think that's a message not just to Latinos or to other minorities. I think it's a message that we need to be consistent. And we need to tell everybody exactly where we're coming from and make sure if there's misinformation out there that it's corrected and reach out to them. I think we just didn't do as good of a job reaching out to individuals as the other side. And I think that's more of where we need to go. It's not necessarily about changing message. There may need to be some messages that we need to look at. But overall, I think it's about getting that message out. And I think that's where we failed in making sure that those people who voted for President Obama didn't really know where we stood on certain issues.
Mr. Miller, quickly, Governor Branstad has complained that the state has had to hire outside counsel because you didn't represent him on lawsuits filed against him. Why was that? Because he has complained that that's cost taxpayers more. Is there a strained relationship between you two, or is there legal reasons that you couldn't represent him?
Yeah, there's just a couple lawsuits where he was very strong in requesting outside counsel. It was initiated by him. It wasn't something that... That I really wanted to do. I respected his wishes to have outside counsel in a couple cases. Those were at the beginning of his term. That hasn't happened more recently.
Some Democrats scratch their head at this duo over here. How did you guys come to work together as you have on this project of voter fraud?
Well, as I told you, I guess a little bit of background. We'd worked together on a couple issues. And when this issue came up, Secretary Schultz came to me and he said, I want you to represent me. I want to do this right. I said, well, that means no voter fraud, but no voter suppression. He said, that's exactly right. It was my duty. When I can do something across party lines and do the right thing, I'm always going to do that. And I think Democrats sort of and the public sort of understand that about me and sort of like it.
Mr. Schultz, just 10 seconds. You liked what he said?
Absolutely. I love working with Tom. I think we've had a great relationship working on some people scamming businesses in Iowa. And this issue, I really do enjoy working with Attorney General Miller.
Well, we'll have both of you back again then.
Sounds good.
We'll look forward to that.
Don't wait so long.
It's been a long time.
Thank you, Tom. A political programming reminder for our viewers, too. A panel of past Iowa caucus campaign managers recently discussed the future of the same caucuses at Iowa State University. We'll be rebroadcasting that conversation. It was moderated by former Iowa Press panelist and Register columnist David Yepsen. It's the future of the Iowa caucuses from the Harkin Institute at Iowa State. It'll be on IPTV World Tuesday night. That's December 11th at 8 in the evening. And we'll be back with another Iowa Press next weekend. Usual time, 7:30 Friday night, and a second chance to see the show Sunday at noon. I'm Dean Borg. Thanks for joining us today.
Funding for Iowa Press was provided by Friends, the Iowa Public Television Foundation.
Support comes from the Iowa Bankers Association. Iowa banks work with you to offer products and advice for financing an education, buying a new home, growing a business, or funding retirement. Iowa banks, Iowa values. MyIowaBank.com.